Bava Basra, Perek Yud, Mishnah Zayin. The Mishnah over here is really Agav, the Mishnah that we had before. It has really nothing to do with the Shtaros. Shnei Achim, Echad Oni ve'Echad Oshe, two brothers that have a Shutvis in something. What was the Shutvis? Hiniach Lamaviyah Merchatzu Beis Abad. The father died and left them over Yerusha. So now they have a business. They have a Merchatz, they have a Beis Abad, a bathhouse, a wine press. Oil press, rather. Ason l'schar, haschar le'emtzah. If they set it up as a business, they rent it out to others, they have clients coming and going, so okay, the profits are coming in. Obviously, the two brothers, each owns 50%, each one gets. What happens if ason la'atzmon, if the business, the facility, was set up for they themselves to use for their pleasure, for their rechitza, for their pressing. Is a costly venture. You need avodim, you need a whole staff to heat up the water, to clean it, to take care of maintenance, etc., etc. The brother who's an osher has the staff and he has the facility. It's like he has a gym and he has his own private pool. The fact that is that he has the money to maintain the facilities, and he says to the army, get yourself staff, and you'll also enjoy. Kachlucha zesim, go buy a whole crop of zesim, and you'll have what to use the Beis Abad for. So really, the osher is really making that the army cannot use it, because the army doesn't have what it takes in order to be able to enjoy personal use. He wants to rent it as a business. Now, what's the kaveh? The fact is that the father used it lots. The father was an Aisha. So, Memela, being that that's what it was set up, and that's how it was used, so Memela, the two sons have to stay with that also. So, what does that mean? The son was an Oni, has no recourse? So, he has one of two choices. The first choice would be, okay. So, he tells the Aisha, use it one day. I'll have it the next day. And the next day, every second day, I'll rent it out. That's not going to work because this is a type of facility where you have to have daily use. A pool is not something that you could have every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. It's something, a person has a pool. He wants to go swimming every day. I don't know about a pool, but a Beis Merchatz is that way. So, Memela, that's not a normal usage for one of them to use it Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, the other to use it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's not an option. One option that the Oni has is that he could sell his chelik. A shutev is allowed to sell a half ownership in a company to somebody else. He does not have to have permission from his brother. The brother is not going to have as much fun now that there's somebody else who bought it that's actually going to use it. Somebody's going to call his bluff. But that's life. He has a right to sell it. The other option is he could say what we had at the end of the first pair, good or good. The brother who's an Oni could put the Osher to either buy him out or he's going to buy him out. Now, chances are that the Oni doesn't have the money to buy out the Osher. The Osher will be forced to buy out the Oni, and that will serve the Oni. He'll have some money in hand, and he can do something with it. The problem is that the Osher can tell the Oni, you buy it. Whoever calls the din, good or good, the other one gets to decide. So the Osher will say, okay, I won't have it, and he can put it by the Oni's doorstep. The Oni could raise capital. He could somehow take out a mortgage. He could borrow money, and he could buy it. Fine. But if he's not going to be able to, he's going to have a problem. The next din in the Mishnah. Shnayim shayu b'achas. Two people that are in a city. So you're hopping already that the theme of this Mishnah is really only Agav. We're talking over here about two people being in a situation together. And this is going to be halach and hilchos shtaros. Really, the Rishonim explained that the first case of the two brothers that's an Oni and an Osher has shaykhis with Mishnah Vov. Because over there also you had somebody who lent money and the loivid didn't have money to write a shaver. So because he doesn't have money, connected somebody who's challenging him, he gets into a difficult situation. That's the tzad hashava. But lamaisa, once the Mishnah said shnei achin echad oni ve'echad osher, there's a certain similarity to shnayim shayu b'achas. And this is a case that's brought in several places in Shas. Shem echad Yosef ben Shimon, v'shem achi Yosef ben Shimon. It's called two Yosef ben Shimons. You look in the Rishonim, they spell it shnei yabash, Yosef ben Shimon. Now, the problem is that writing a shtar is always going to be problematic because each one could always say, that's not me, that's the other guy who lives in town, Yosef ben Shimon. Somebody comes to the bezin waving a shtar keneged Yankel Kohn. There might be in the phone book 150 Yankel Kohns. He's going to have to identify who he has a tvi against with a little bit better of a beer. So you're not going to be able to pull out a shtar choyv on any Yankel Kohn or any Yosef Ben Shimon in town. Nobody could pull out a choyv against them, and they can't pull out a choyv against somebody else. Now, this needs a little bit of explanation. The fact that nobody can pull out a shtar choyv is because Yankel Kohn, who lives on East 2nd Street, could say this shtar is referring to Yankel Kohn on East 4th Street, or East 5th, or East 7th, or so on and so forth. But what about the other way? Yosef ben Shimon is coming into Bezin, and he has a shtar. That's the evidence that he's the one with the choyv. And the answer is that the only case over here where the one who's holding the choyv, the shtar, sorry, can't be tevea, is only when it's en yichon lahitzi shtar choyv ze al ze, the two Yosef ben Shimon's themselves. It says in the shtar choyv that Yosef ben Shimon borrowed from Yosef ben Shimon. So now again, if there's two Yosef ben Shimon's, we're not talking about whether there's 150, there's two. So why can't the one who's holding the shtar be assumed to be the malva if he's holding onto a shtar? The answer is, the Gemara explains, that the loiva, the alleged loiva, who the Bala Shtar is being tevea, says, look, I lent you money. The shoe was really on the other foot. You're returning ro tachas toiva. I gave you back the shtar choiv as a malva does to a loiva, and now you're using it against me. What a lack of akoras hatoiv. But meanwhile, the claim, the fact that the shtar is biyoda, can't be upheld because you taka don't know. So therefore, he can't be tevea. But nobody can be tevea them, not even two Yosef ben Shimon's against each other. Nobody in town can be tevea a specific Yosef ben Shimon because it could always point to the other one. Nimtza lechad ben shtoroysov, shtori shol Yosef ben Shimon perua. He finds he has an outstanding debt to two Yosef ben Shimon's. The two Yosef ben Shimon's. But he finds a shoiver ben shtoroysov that says shtori shol Yosef ben Shimon perua. The choiv that I had, I have record, and it's signed. The choiv that I had to a Yosef ben Shimon is paid. So the one who's holding on to that type of shoiv could use that against either or both Yosef ben Shimons. Shtar shneim peruin. Ketzet yasu. What should these two Yosef ben Shimons do when they get into a situation where they can't be tevei choiv because of this? Yishaleshu. They should add on not just Yosef ben Shimon. They should go back a third generation. Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov. And the other one is Yosef ben Shimon ben Naftali. They're both Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov. So then, Yichtevu Simin. You don't write four. That's already not so tenable in the shtar. What you write is, you write a Simin. Yosef ben Shimon, like we said before, is 2nd Street, is 4th Street. The Simin then was not. The Simin then was the one who's short, the one who's a redhead, etc. If both of them are redheads, you understand? They're first cousins with the same first name and last name, and they also look similar. So, yichtivu koyin. One's a koyin, one's a Yisrael. That's not going to work with koyanim. So, you're going to have to find something that distinguishes one from the other. There's no choice. Ho'im levnoi. Somebody says levnoi. The Mefarshim explained lefnei moisoi. Shtar ben shtaroisei perua. There is a shtar that I have. It looks like I'm a malva, that I have chayvus, I have various collectibles that are waiting for you that will be yours to collect. And one of them you should know is a chayv that was paid. The mess himself, the person who's about to die, doesn't remember. Shtaris kulam pruim. The malva has to not collect any of the chayvus. He has to be chayshish that any one of these loivim could be he's collecting money shalik it did. Obviously, in an honest world, the loive who taka owes the money will admit and he'll pay up. So those monies, the malva will be able to collect. But the ones that his father told him he can't collect, because of a suffix, he won't be able to collect. Nimtza le'echad shom shnayim. If there's two shtori chayvus on one person, so you know if the father said one of them is paid, that the other one could be paid. So what do you do? Pashut. Hagodol perua, you have to at least be choishish that the bigger sum is paid. He's allowed to collect the smaller one. Now the Mishnah moves on to something else. It's a very important halacha, an area of halacha unto itself, Hilchas Oruv. Hamalvas chaveira al de Oruv. The regular Oruv, guarantor, is where Reuven is not willing to lend money to Shimon. He doesn't trust him. He doesn't know. He wants backup. He wants Levi to sign as an Oruv, as a guarantor, as a co-signer, that if the money is not paid by Shimon, then he'll pay it. So the Mishnah says, how does this operate, this whole idea of Arevim? Lo yipora min Oruv. He's not allowed to collect. The Malva is not allowed to collect from the Oruv. The Mishnah is Mekatzer. What it means is he's not allowed to collect from the Oruv until the Loive defaults on the Choiv. That means you can't go straight to the Oruv, you have to go straight. However, if he signs into the original loan document that there's an Arvus, and the Arvus takes full responsibility for the Choiv as if he's a Loive, we call this in the Lashon of Chazal and Poskim, we call this an Oruv Kablin. That means he's not an Oruv where he's backing up if the loive defaults. He's becoming the loive, so to speak. And this classification has different ramifications. L'moshel l'gabil ribis. If we look at him as a loive, so then there's a relationship with him as a loive, and if there's ribis payments, he might be considered that he's being loive beribis. That could create its own problem. Let's say parents co-signing on a house for children. But we won't get into that local amaisa. Lemaisa, if he says Amanashi Parmi Mishetz, if that's the way he was signed, Yifram and Arif. He's allowed to go to the Arif first. Because of not understanding the next line in the Mishnah, the Gemara it adds in, based on Brises and being Medayik in the Mishnah, the Gemara adds a point here. There's two levels of what we just described as the Malva being able to go to the Loiva as his address of first recourse without having to go to the Loiva at all. You don't have to wait for the Loiva to default. One is Amanashi Parmi Mishetz. He made it tonight. It's a, the co-signer is a regular co-signer. It's not an Orv Kaplan. He's a co-signer, but the tonight is that the Malva does not have to chase the Loiva and go to him numerous times and wait till he defaults a certain amount of times. The whole procedure, the way it's described in the Sugis and Halach, he has to wait, he has to default, then he goes to the Orv. He can write Amanashi Parmi Mishetz. True. However, there's a limitation even in that. What happens if the loiva has a house, which is easy enough to go to Bezin, put a lien on the house, and then collect the house? That he's certainly mechuyev to do. Mimisha Eretzah just means I'm not mechuyev to chase somebody. The Malva wants a guarantee. But if there's something you don't have to chase, go to your loiva, he has a house, and get a lien on the house and collect from the house. That is mechuyev to do. Even that is only if he sets himself up as a regular loiva. However, if he sets himself up for what we described before as an Orav Kablan, there he's not co-signing. He's taking on the role as a loiva proper. In that case, you can go straight to him. It doesn't make a difference. He does, the loiva does have property. Not the Orav is identical, and he's a loiva the same way the loiva proper is a loiva. On that, the Mishnah says, Rav Hashem ben Gamli aloiva, im yesh nechosim leloiva, ben kach u ben kach, both by an Oruv with a Mimir She'etza, or by an Oruv Kablon, lo yipara min Oruv. V'cheno Yerub Shimon Gamliel Oyim. That means Yerub Shimon Gamliel argues on what we just said. We said that this din, that if he has Nechosim Tchilo, you have to go to the Loiva first, is only by where the Tanai was in a regular Oruv, Mimir She'etza, Ani Ephra. But not by an Oruv Kablon. Yerub Shimon Gamliel disagrees with that. And Yerub Shimon Gamliel said, he said something else in Hilchas Arvus. Somebody who's co-signing for a husband on a shtar ksuba. Woman's getting married. She doesn't want to marry this man. She's afraid that he's going to divorce. He's not going to have the money to pay her ksuba. She doesn't have money. So the husband says, okay, I want to marry you, so I'll find a co-signer. The husband's about to be megarasha. Yadireno. We want a safeguard. We're afraid that the husband is going to divorce her and he's going to use the Oriv, and the shtick is going to be like this. The Baal and his wife that he's about to divorce, they're actually in cahoots. They're getting divorced. They can't agree on the marriage. But they're in cahoots legabe, making a knunya, making a shtick on al nchosim shelzeh, on the Oriv, in order to get the Oriv to back up. The Baal is going to default on the Dmei HaKsuba, and then they're going to go to the Oruv. To protect the Oruv, Chazal instituted that the husband will have to be Madir Hanoh from his wife forever. We're afraid that what he's going to do is going to divorce her. She's going to collect from the Arif, and then he's going to marry her back. He's going to marry her again. We want to prevent that. He's going to have to take a neder that will prevent him from ever taking her back. Which means either he can take his wife back and not collect the ksuba. She won't be able to collect the ksuba, and he won't have to make this neder. Or he'll have to make the neder. If she wants to collect from the ksuba, the ex-husband will have to make the neder that he's not going to be neder from his wife. And then he won't be able to take her back, so you'll be protected. The kesher between these two dinim of Reb Shimon and Gamliel, both that an Orev, if he has nechosim, if the loiva has nechosim yiduim, the Orev is never the first recourse, means Reb Shimon Gamliel is mekel protecting the Orev. So this is a takana de rabbonon, because of chashash knunya, but it's also a protection for an Orev. Reb Shimon Gamliel, so to speak, is more sympathetic for the Arevim. Yesh lodun, if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel argues with the distinction that we made between an Orev with an Almanashe from a Misha Eretz and a Kablin, not Mestaba that he argues in the Lomdus, Mestaba that he just puts into place a protection. Soif kol soif, even though a Malva has recourse to go straight to the Orev Kablin, Lamaisa, if the Loiva, the one who actually got the money, has Nechosim Yidum, you have to go there. So it's really sort of like a takana to protect Arevim. So that's why these two dinim are linked up. That's why the Mishnah puts them together. Mishnah Ches. The last Mishnah, Be'ezus Hashem, in Meseches Nezikin. Meseches Nezikin was using that term because in the Tosefta, there's one Mesechta called Meseches Nezikin, and it has Sholesh Bavis, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Bas. So that's why the names are that. We have it as three Mesechtas. But in the Tosefta, it's like Meseches Kelim also has 30 prakim with a Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basa. So we're learning Be'ezus Hashem, the last Mishnah, and the finale of the Mishnah is going to very much reflect the importance of this Groisa Heilige Mesechta. So let's see. Hamalvas Chaveri Bishtar. One who lends money Bishtar, and the Loiva does not have money to pay back. So we know this is a staple in Halacha, that goivim in nechosim mishubodim. The malva has a right to collect from nechosim mishubodim any properties, fields, karka, that was sold, houses, whatever it is, that was sold by the loiva after the choiv existed. There's a lien already on the property. Nechosim mishubodim was chal on the properties, a shibud, and the malva could be toirif from those who bought from the loiva for that. However, Al Yidei Edim, if there was no shtar, goivim and uchosim b'nei chayrin, could only collect from properties, either metaltlan or karka that's biyad haloive, not from mishubodim, not from that which was sold. The sheirish of this din is a world-class machlokes, and it's a very important machlokes, all over Sidre Noshim Nezikin. There's one shita that holds that shibuda deiraisa, every time somebody borrows money, there's a chalois in all his nechosim, be'etzem both karka, both metaltalin. Be'etzem, he should be able to collect, the malva that is, should be able to collect from any car, bike, hat, or anything else that was sold, because of everything that the loiva has, shibud deraisa, the Gemara learns it out, from a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that talks about the loiva bringing out to the malva something when the malva knocks by the door demanding payment. We see from there that his property is mortgaged, is mishubid to the malva, and there's a mandom in the Gemara that learns that's a machlekes of papa of hunibre de yeshu shibud de raisa, both on karka, both on metaltlin. The problem is, Chazal had a concern that metaltlin, it's not clear, it's hard to track exactly where and what comes from where. A person's going to buy apples, going to buy a bike, a hat, a coat, and he never knows who has a choiv. Karka is always recorded. Bederichal is a shtar. There's also what Chazal call a koil. So by karka, bederichal, if a person has liens on his property, it's well known. And when a person buys a piece of property, it's more traceable. There's a paper trail. And memela, it's more easy. And it's not going to shter the regular flow of mekomemka. That's the way it's done. A person buys a house. He runs a search with a title company. And he sees if there are any liens on the property. You can't do that with metaltlin, bederech klal. Therefore, Chazal will mafkir the shibud on metaltlin, and they left it only as a shibud when when we're talking about kakoy, only on the kakoyes. Step one. Step two is the chazal for the same concern. Mekach u'memka, nobody's going to be able to buy and sell because of issues with liens, with shibudim, with gvios. They were mafkia it by halvo that was balpeh. People borrow and lend money, balpeh. It's not with a document drawn up officially. It doesn't have shtaris. It doesn't have a koil. Because it doesn't have a koil, so this is the same mikshu. People are not going to know. Liens, properties, nervous, mekach u'memka, problems. Therefore, they were mafkia the shibud from any milva alpeh. However, they kept the din of shibudim by milva bishtar. So one mahalach to this sugya is to say that shibudim deraisa, everything and anything, both shtar and with eidim, both karka and metaltalin. Chazal left in place the original din shibudim deraisa only by nechosim that have a shtar and only karka. One mahalach. The other mahalach is to say that shibudim love deraisa. The whole concept is man-made. It's Chazal's takana. They will misaken it where it's not going to cause problems. There's a third mahalach, which doesn't have that much support in Rishonim. But if you look in the Shach in the beginning of Hilchos Halva, in Choshe Mishpat Simon Lamites, it seems to learn it up in a Rajma, is that the chilik between Karka and Metaltalin could very well be a chilik Dei Raisa. The concept of Shibudim is that when a person is owed money, he has a mamoni gaboch in the loiva. All assets of the loiva, it's chal, the same way the it's chal shibud aguf on the loiva, it's chal shibud nechosim in his properties. Both karka and both metaltalin, according to most Rishonim. The Rashba seems to say, how can Ruvain, the malva, have some type of what the Achrenim call shibud chatzikinyan, a schus in nechosim that belonged to Shimon? He can have it when it's by Shimon, because Shimon owes him money. So mikoyach the shibud aguf that he has against Shimon, he can collect from his properties. But if the property is sold to Levi, can Reuven have a schus guvaina in a property that's by Levi? So, if it's karka, yes. The fact that it's in the possession of Levi doesn't take away the shibud and the skuyos of Reuven. But metaltalin, ownership of metaltalin is defined by who has it. The properties, the metaltalin, when they're by Shimon, you could say theoretically that they're some type of schus to Reuven, but not when they're biyad Levi. So the whole concept of shibudim, which is like a koyach in the chayfitz that the malva has, is not shayich on a deraisa level by metaltalin. Again, this is a chiddush, a tifa lomdish chiddush, and it's not the consensus of the Rishonim. Pashtus to Rishonim understand that it's either or, depending on whether you hold Shibud Deraisa or Shibud Derabanan. How we paskin is bechlal not clear. The Pashtus in the Sugya and Daf Kufa Ayin Hey, and the Rishonim is that we paskin like Ula that learns out Shibud Deraisa, and the din is that Chazal took away where there's a problem in Mekach u'Memka, they took away Shibud, and not like Rabbah who says in the Gemara that Shibud is a Takana Derabanan, what he calls in the Gemara Kadesh Leitinol Dels Bifnei Lovin. That's the Pashtus. Hoitzi Alav Ksav Yodei Shehu Chayev Loi. Here we have an in-between. Reuven, the Malva, in order to prove his case that Shimon owes him money, pulls it out in the IOU. It's signed by Shimon. There's no Edim. Is that a proper shtar? So for the Loiva to be able to deny the Chayev and say it never happened, nope. An IOU, if it has your signature, Yad Kol Adam Chosin Boy, so that could be used, and that will be used in Bezna as evidence. If you signed it, and we recognize the signature, then we'll say that obviously you owe the money. But it doesn't have a full toikif of a shtar, and memeli, you can't collect from Nechosim Mishubodim. Mishnah says, Goyim Nechosim Bnei Chayim. One way of saying this is just to say that when a shtar is written, not in a formal way with edim, with a sofer, but it's just written, scribbled on a piece of paper, an IOU, there's no koil, so we go back into the same problem over here. There could be a problem. So Chazal didn't allow one to collect from the Chosim Bnei Mishubodim. One could say that. One could maybe also say, and Achrenim support this, is that today that the concept of Shibudim is limited, either because it's only Midrabon or Deraisa, Chazal, Mafkia. The Nechosim Mishubodim, the concept of Shibud, with a Chalois in Yen is Nechosim, that a Malva has, is a koyach that lies in a shtar. We've seen through the length and breadth of Meseches Nezikim that a shtar has special powers. A shtar is not just, we spoke this out in the previous parak, a shtar is not just a vehicle to prove in Bezen that there's money owed. The shtar is the koyach of collecting itself. Boifin, the Shach says, in the same Simulama test that we quoted before, that when a loiva signs on a shtar that he owes the malva $100, and with that the malva has a shibut in his field, that if the loiva sells the field, the malva could go collect by his lekeach. With that, the loiva is signing a schus in his field. The shtar is not only a shtar on the halva; it's a shtar hakno, giving over to the malva a schus in the field. That's the concept of shibudim. If that's the case, ksav yodei does not have that. It has evidence. It does have evidentiary power, but it does not have the koyach of a shtar to collect from the chosim mishubodim, only from the chosim bnei chayim. Oruv hayoytzi lacha chitum shtarois, which means that the oruv is signed on the shtar chayim that the malva produces in bezin after the chsima of the edim. If the oruv had already signed and been mishabed himself to pay the chayim before the shtar was created, then he would have signed and the edim would have signed on bottom. What seems clear is that the chayv was created and the arvus was created thereafter. Therefore, it does not have a halacha, the arvus that is, of being a chayv that he accepts on himself with the toikif of a shtar, and the halacha is goyvim nechosim nechayim. You can collect from the nechosim nechayim, the nechosim that the arv has, that's you're collecting from the arv himself. But to say that there's a din shibud that's chal on the nechosim of the arv, and you can collect even after those nechosim are sold, that won't be true. Maisa, there was such a maisa with an oruv hayotze lachachitim shtoz, bolif ne Rabbi Shmuel, v'omar goyvim nechosim b'nei chayr, the way we just said, omalei benanis. Benanis disagrees, and he says, eine goyva loim nechosim b'shubodim v'loim nechosim b'nei chayr, you can't collect at all. An oruv hayotze lachachitim shtoz is nothing. It's not mechayiv, the oruv doesn't have to pay. Omalei lama. Why? He was meshabed himself, he signed. Nobody's questioning that the oruv signed. Omalei, benanis tells him, Ruvain has a choiv against Shimon, and he goes over to Shimon, he's choking Shimon in the shuk, he's been choinik him. Levi walks by and says, why are you choking? Why are you killing the guy? And he says to him, Levi screams at Ruvain, stop beating him up. And he says, I'll pay you, just hands off. Potter, that's called an orv? Shaloy alam nosa hilvo. Benanis is mechadish amoyedi kechidish. Benanis says that the concept of an oruv is not any time a person says, I'll pay a choyv. It's where the halvo was created with the oruv aboard, and that creates a hischaivis and oruv. The Gemara has a whole discussion. What is the hischaivis of an oruv? One aspect of this is that the Gemara brings up is an issue of concern. We had previously in the 9th perek a concept of asmachta. Asmachta, sorry, not in the 9th perek, in this perek, in Mishnah Hay. And the concept of asmachta means that whatever a person is mechayiv himself to some type of financial repercussion, but he's not really mechayiv himself today. He just says, if kach v'kach happens, then I'm mechayiv. That's not his chayivus. Either it's chsor nesmichas das, or maybe it's a more lumdish approach. There is no chayivus over here also. What's the Oruv saying? The Oruv is saying that if he doesn't pay, so I'll pay you. So how does he become a chuyv? And the answer has to be that since the loan was only given al das kain, that koyach drafts him, schleps him into his chayvus, even though there is, he never wanted to be mechuyv. But since Lamaisa, the loan was only given a day to the Hachi, that creates on the Oruv Achiv. There's a lot of raid, a lot of Lamdush Achrenish raid, how that works. Befrat in what's known, the famous Sugya, being Mekadosh and Isha, Midin Oruv, and Kedush and Navav, that's where this is discussed by Richus. But Arvus, how Arvus is created, is something that's only in the context of the Maisa Havor. So Benana says, screaming at a malva who's beating up a loiva, get off him and I'll pay you, does not create a hischaivus. The hischaivus is only created when vir b'shas, the creation of the choiv. And he fears ois. Ela ezu orav shu chayiv, Hilveyu vani naisen lecha, lend him money and I'm responsible. It's only when it's in the context of my salvo. Chayiv, in that case, shekein alemunosu hilveyu. Om Rebbe Shmuel, and this is the finale of Maseches Nezikin. Haroitze sheyachkim yasik bedine mominis. Shein lecha miktsoya, there's no part of Torah. Godl mehem shein kemayin hanevea. It's an endless flow. The more you discuss, the more svaros, the more machlokes, the person could learn what we call sidrei nashim nezikin. Nezikin refers to, when we talk about dinei mamonos, we're talking about anything that's negeh to dinei mamonos, mostly the yeshivish mesachtos. There's an endless flow of chokhma and svaros. The other chalakim and Torah are more defined. V'roitze sheyasik b'dinei mamonos. Yeshamish is Shimon ben Anas. He's giving him a compliment on this last svara that he was very bespilus from. So we finish off Seder, or rather Maseches Nezikin, with an understanding that we just were engaged in the chelik that's the Mektoya HaGadol in Torah. It's Kemayin HaNeveh. This may be a thought process that we could add that could be inspiring. Other chalokim in Torah, Moed, Yom Tovim Kotchim, Beis HaMikdash. Taharis is something that we hear is more esoteric. It's more Kedusha based. Zeroyim. It's also, we see these as more religious parts of our life. Masha'ekin, Dine Mominis, is the give and take, the rough and tumble of the market. It's Mamish Chulin. It's Mamish out in the Shuk HaChayim. And that the overwhelming creativity in Torah is most expressed. The chelik of Torah that's most Mayan HaNeveya is the chelik that we would see of our lives as most lying outside the realm of Kedusha is something incredible. What it tells us is that Chochma HaTorah, there's no corner in the world that's absent of Kedusha HaTorah, Chochma HaTorah, Rotzen HaTorah. And this should be an inspiration for us to take the Rabban Shalom's Chochma and to take our connection to Torah into every single nook and cranny of our lives. Rabban Shalom should be Mezakos. We should continue Lilmoid, Lamed, Lishma, Velasis.